Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you took all the economists in the world and put them into end, they still wouldn't reach a conclusion. So I trust the people, not the so-called economists.
John McCain at his town hall meeting in Lower Manhattan last night on why he supports a gasoline tax holiday, even though most economists don't. Sound familiar?
Can you name an economist who thinks this makes sense?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to put my lot in with economists.
Well, the gas tax holiday seemed to backfire for Senator Clinton in the Democratic primaries. Will it work any better for Senator McCain in the general? Today, McCain is town halling in New Jersey, which he hopes will be a swing state, while Obama launches a new website specifically to dispel rumors about him and his wife. And the two candidates are disagreeing today on the Supreme Court Guantanamo decision. Let's digest some of this with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, Brian.
Can we start with this anti-rumor website? Have you seen it?
I have, yes. The thing that's so fascinating about it is that it is sort of an antiviral in the tradition of antivirals, which is to say that you have the ability to share the anti-rumor, to immediately email it out to all your friends. So it's exactly in the way that a vaccine is constructed. And that is exactly what this site is trying to do, to vaccinate him against all of these rumors.
And against, and to continue the vaccine metaphor, the wrong things going viral. And the first rumor that they want to dispel, they say, is that there is a videotape of Michelle Obama making a racially charged speech at the Trinity Church in Chicago. The website says no such tape exists. And on the viral nature of this, it asks Obama supporters not just to see it, but to send the rumor-busting page links to their entire email contact list, and do this with rumor after rumor, or the busting of the rumor after the busting of the rumor. Each one has its own page on that site. And, you know, for a campaign that has really used social networking so effectively, this is yet another wrinkle in that.
Right. I mean, what I think remains to be seen is whether the Obama network will hit the people, the same people that are spreading
right.
the rumors and that are reading these rumors.
Right.
You know, last night when I was at the McCain Town Hall at Federal Hall in Lower Manhattan, there was a woman with a T-shirt that said, Obama Bin, spelled B-I-N with an apostrophe at the end, Lion, L-Y-I-N. And it's obvious what that's supposed to mean. And she sat there in the front hall of the town hall meeting wearing this, you know, black and white T-shirt. And to me, it showed the sort of way in which these rumors are and innuendos are really going to be part of this general election campaign.
Sounds like a bit I saw on Jon Stewart a few weeks ago where he had a guest who, you know, he was a fake guest who was saying, well, the problem with Obama, you know, Obama bin Laden with all these rumors.
It's the same thing. And, you know, his name, has, for the purposes of people who want to spread rumors, an unfortunate similarity with the terrorist Osama bin Laden.
So the specific rumor itself that's number one on this website is indicative of this, and why this might be needed for this candidate and his wife in particular in American history, because his race and his name seem especially susceptible to racial and religious smear campaigns not based in reality, like trying to show his wife as too black. I think it's no accident that that's the focus of the rumor, or spreading the word falsely that he is a Muslim.
Right. And all of these rumors, I mean, not all of them, but these ones in particular, the Michelle one, you know, has some link to, you know, some tiny link to reality. She has said some comments like, this is the first time I'm proud to be an American. And, of course, there are all of these tapes that have sort of come out of Trinity Church. So
mm-hmm.
there is a sort of sense in which there's, you know, a reality to it. But I think that, you know, the other sort of clever thing for the Obama campaign is not only do they get to try to combat this on the internet, but they don't have to spend an hour and a half with George Stephanopoulos in the fall talking about, you know, why aren't you wearing a lapel pin, and
right.
what about this rumor, and what about that rumor, and are you a patriot, and what about, you know, did you get sworn in on the Quran? He could say, you know, we've dealt with all this, it's old news, you know, it's all false, go to my website and find out.
Criticize them for things they did, but not for things they didn't do. Well, right now, John McCain is in New Jersey to hold a town hall meeting today. Last night, he did one in New York. Does he think our states are in play in the general election?
Oh, I don't believe he does. I mean, let's just put this in context. Today is June 13th, which is right before June 30th, which is the close of the fundraising period. And everybody is here in New York and New Jersey intensely raising money. McCain has a fundraiser today with the New Jersey GOP. He had a fundraiser earlier this week, a big Midtown Hotel fundraiser. He had one at the 21 Club. He's here trying to sort of boost his numbers for the election of, I mean, for the sort of the first fundraising period where he's going to, this is the first time he's going to be shown head to head against Obama, and he doesn't want to have a really poor showing because then there's going to be a sort of round of, you know, can McCain do it type of coverage that he doesn't want. However, I mean, I do think that there are some conservative and moderate Democrats in New York and New Jersey that have some questions about Barack Obama, and to whatever extent he can, McCain wants to keep those questions alive.
And these two town halls, the New Jersey one hasn't happened yet, but the New York one, I mean, they're different because the New York one was really just a national one for a national audience on the Fox News channel that was staged at Federal Hall in Lower Manhattan. He didn't deal with New York issues, did he?
The only issue that came up was a question about education, which I understand I was there, but I understand that Fox went to a commercial at that point when he was asked about the New York educational system. By the way, I think I just misspoke. I said conservative and moderate Republicans in the area. I meant to say conservative and moderate Democrats who have some questions about Barack Obama.
Right.
But let me just talk about this event last night for a little bit, because I've been to many McCain town hall meetings in which anybody has come in and he's taken all sorts of questions and he's gone late into the night and he's honestly answered every question. This was a crowd that was really Republican Party activists who I've seen at many events. There were a lot of people that had worked on the Giuliani campaign. There were people that had come through political clubs. So this was not, I mean, they said it was real voters, and I suppose, yes, real Republican voters, but it did really seem to be a Republican Party crowd. And all the questions were softballs. I mean, I've seen McCain parry tough questions, but last night he was asked sort of the script, you know, doesn't America need more people that are independent-minded? You know, aren't people too heavily taxed? You know, I agree with everything you say, Senator McCain, except for when you said you were not a hero. You are a hero. So that was sort of the tenor of the questions last night at this town hall meeting.
Well, Fox, at the beginning of the broadcast, announced that the audience at the session was made up of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, but they had to correct themselves, the anchor, Shepard Smith, after the meeting to say it was an audience of McCain supporters.
Yes, it did. I mean, it clearly was. I mean, you know, these are people that would maybe go to sort of a $250 fundraising event for a Republican candidate. And, you know, I've seen them at many of the events that I've covered over the years. So, I mean, it clearly was McCain supporters. And I was speaking to Steve Myers, who's the Queens Republican chair, afterwards, and he said, yes, you know, this event came together very quickly, and everybody was calling their lists and, you know, sort of, you know, just kind of getting everybody they could to come. I mean, it wasn't a huge hall to fill. There were about 200 people. I think that, you know, McCain wanted to make a television point. He wants these town halls with Barack Obama. It's to his advantage. Barack Obama always gets a huge crowd. You could probably fit on Barack Obama's stage the number of people in the entire audience last night. So it's to McCain's advantage to try to have as many events as he can with Barack Obama. And, you know, in sort of national polls, which, you know, we could talk for hours about why they're not significant, but people are going to still be looking at them, McCain is sort of not. He's trailing a little bit at this point, so it's certainly to his advantage to try to get the attention that would come from these big town hall meetings, and I think that this was sort of part of the campaign to make that happen.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, talking about the first week of the general election campaign, and we call it that because it's the first week after Hillary Clinton suspended her campaign, and we can take some phone calls from McCain supporters, anybody who was there at Federal Hall last night or going in New Jersey today, or anyone who supports Obama or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you can also post a comment to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But here's a clip of McCain from the event last night talking about his brand of political independence.
And sometimes my party hasn't liked it. But this gets back to the party first thing that I was talking about, that we've got to put our country first and not our party first. And too many people have that reversed. And so
now, that'll be a big talking point, I imagine, Andrea, because he has more things he can point to where he has crossed party lines than Obama does, and they both hope to appeal to independents. Obama had a lot of independent appeal during the primaries, at least the early primaries in states where people could cross over. Obama's been saying that on the big things, Iraq and the Bush tax cuts and what kind of health care and Social Security system to have, McCain really doesn't have a record of crossing over, that he would be Bush 3. Do you think there's a pitch to independent swing voters there when Obama says that, or is that just red meat for the Democrats to get out the vote?
No, I think that quote is the entire core of the McCain campaign. Everything that his campaign is about is in that quote.
Which one?
Which is the one that
one
we just heard.
The clip.
The sense of putting the country first. So it reminds you of everything sort of heroic about, you know, I have always put my country first, is sort of one of those statements that, you know, is it's very hard to sort of mount a serious argument against that, although clearly Barack Obama will in some ways. And, you know, he had just finished talking about, he had raised a very interesting thing. He said, I worked on immigration reform with Ted Kennedy. Now, isn't it interesting that John McCain is raising that? I mean, there was a point in this campaign where that was the last thing he wanted people to remember. And then he mentioned campaign finance reform with Russ Feingold, which is something that a lot of conservative Republicans hate McCain for. I mean, I have heard all kinds of venom spewed at McCain from Republicans for the campaign finance. But, you know, and he is saying, I have a track record of the thing that Barack Obama is talking about, which is rising above partisanship. And he has he's saying, I have all of these years of doing it. What does Barack Obama have? And I think that is very much the essence of what his campaign is about.
Which also reveals some of the tension in his campaign, because he, from the sound of that, is going to try to build a coalition of conservatives and independents. But the things that he's been the most independent-minded are really turn off conservatives, as you were saying. So is he going to be conservative enough with his stands on health care and Social Security and Iraq and tax cuts to get them to vote while being independent enough on the other things, McCain-Feingold, McCain-Kennedy, et cetera, to get that group to vote and not consider him too right-wing? And we don't yet know.
I think it's interesting because when he talked last night about taxes, cutting corporate taxes, that's when he got the biggest and most sustained applause. So he talked about sort of, you know, winning Iraq with honor. He went after Barack Obama for, he said, wanting to raise taxes, raise your taxes is how he put it. The question is whether that and his conservative voting records on some other issues like abortion rights will be able to sustain them over the other things that they don't like about John McCain.
Rory in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rory.
Good morning, Brian and Andrea. Thanks very much for the discussion. Just calling actually to correct Andrea on one point. Michelle Obama said that the first time in her adult lifetime, she's really proud of her country. And I think that's an important correction, or at least an important point that
to add the word really,
right? Because it seems as though when you say it's the first time in your life that you've been proud, period, that's has a different point entirely.
Point taken. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. John in Chappaqua, you're on WNYC. Hello, John.
It's Joshua, but yes.
Josh, I'm sorry.
I think that we're being disserved by both candidates. I saw a wonderful cartoon recently where a Chinese man went up to a house with a couple out in the front yard with an American flag and said, here's your $1,200 rebate check. By the way, you owe us $1,200 plus interest. And what we've done with the economic stimulus package as well as the war in Iraq is funded off of Chinese borrowing. And neither candidate has really confronted the bankruptcy of the country and is willing to look at China as the major issue instead of looking at the Middle East.
So you're saying neither of them are really talking about that. Well, you know, they did both this week give major economic speeches. We played clips of each here on this show earlier in the week. And, Andrew, people have said that they sounded like a conventional liberal and conventional conservative, not two postpartisan candidates finding new solutions to our problems. Did you hear those speeches in full, and did they go to these big global economy questions that Joshua and Chappaqua is raising?
I think not enough. And I think that, I mean, it was very interesting because NPR had a radio-only debate in the sort of right before the Iowa caucus, and there was an hour and a half of questions, and most of it was about China and Africa. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting to hear a foreign policy discussion that wasn't just focused on the Middle East. So, I mean, I think that, you know, the question is sort of who's to blame about this discussion. I do agree with the caller that it's something we need to hear a whole lot more of because it is obviously going to be huge for the next president, particularly the relationship with China.
Now, one thing they went round on after their economic speeches was Obama's proposal to raise the payroll tax, that is tax on earnings above $97,000 for Social Security, even as he's giving tax breaks to lower income earners. McCain says he will not raise the payroll tax income cap and is holding to President Bush's idea of privatizing some of the Social Security system. But he's calling, Obama an old-fashioned tax and spend liberal because he would raise at least that tax even if he's lowering others.
And I'm sure we're going to be hearing so much more from McCain. He wants to raise your taxes. He wants to raise your taxes. He wants to raise your taxes. And Obama is certainly providing him some fodder to make that argument.
And while at the same time, Obama is saying McCain is enabling the class war by, you know, saying that he's now going to support the tax breaks for the rich to be made permanent that President Bush originally initiated. And so, you know, it could be 1947, it could be 1957, it could be 1967 with these same kinds of liberal conservative arguments on taxes.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the post-partisanship that both of these candidates will be displaying in this campaign.
Obama did backtrack on one item in his economic speech, the repeal of the Bush tax cuts for people making more than $250,000 a year. He said it would depend on the economy at the moment. Did you see that coverage?
That one slipped by me. That is interesting. I mean, you know, it's very interesting. And, you know, I mean, in one case, why they're each going to, you know, certainly be accusing each other of being extremists. Barack Obama is going to say that McCain is Bush 3. McCain is going to say Barack Obama is, you know, just Ted Kennedy and just a, you know, a basic sort of liberal in postpartisan clothing. I think that, you know, if you sort of look at Barack Obama's economic policy, there have been a few strains of conservatism in it. I mean, for example, in the health care plan, how he didn't want to have a mandate for every adult and how Hillary Clinton did, for example. So, I mean, I think that she favored kind of targeted government programs towards particular groups. And he has always favored sort of, you know, broader across the board programs. So I think that, you know, that is interesting. It is in some ways perhaps a move a little bit to the center. And if this campaign is typical, we'll see some of that as we move towards the general election.
I want to mention the Supreme Court's Guantanamo detainees decision yesterday before we run out of time, because I think it highlighted a major difference between the candidates. The court struck down a bill largely authored by McCain that would have allowed the detention of terrorism suspects with no habeas corpus, no right to challenge the basis of their detention in a civilian court. And the court said 5-4 that they do have that right. Now, Obama said he supported the decision. McCain expressed concern. And that's a big issue for the future of America, one way or the other. Any reason to think it'll be a big issue in the campaign? Does either one of them want to make a big deal out of this?
I think that, you know, it's so interesting to me because I have seen Barack Obama get huge applause in Olean, Iowa, and Washington Square when he has talked about restoring habeas corpus. You know, I don't know in 2004 how many people in the country even knew what habeas corpus was. But I actually think that there is a strain in the country, and I have seen it among Republicans and Democrats, of a discomfort with what the feeling is that the Bush administration has been sort of too eroding of civil liberties. So I think that, yes, we will see that. And I think a very big issue in this campaign, which is related to this issue, is the Supreme Court. And the next president, I mean, McCain said last night, the next president may appoint two or even three Supreme Court members. And I think particularly among some Democrats who supported Hillary Clinton, the Supreme Court is a big issue because they may feel we don't want to support Barack Obama for whatever reasons, but this sort of feeling about the Supreme Court and the direction of the country for the rest of a whole lot of people's lifetimes, I think will appear as one of the major sub-themes of this campaign.
And really there's a split there, I think, between the Democratic Party base that voted in the primary and, let's say, Democratic Party professionals and Democratic Party consultants, because the consultants, the professionals, are more shy about raising this habeas corpus issue and making a big deal of it, because they think that it's going to rebound badly against them because they're going to look soft on terror.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's the case, and I think that it has played out interestingly in the U.S. I mean, people's assumptions about immigration, for example, were completely wrong in this election campaign, and I think that there are a whole lot of Republicans out there who are also strong civil libertarians, so I'm not sure that it is a pure partisan issue.
We are now 5 days, no, 6 days from the end of the Hillary Clinton campaign, as we knew it. And Obama and McCain were already campaigning against each other as the presumptive nominees. I want to play a clip. This is a mashup. In fact, this is on our new set of video picks that you can see at WNYC.org. Click on video. But this is the audio from our edit of a montage compiled by the Women's Media Center of some of the worst examples of cable TV news sexism during the primary campaign. Not surprisingly, it begins with Chris Matthews.
I get in trouble for this, but you're great looking, obviously. You're one of the God's gifts to men in this country. She was calm. She was charming. Her hair looked, just to be cosmetic, her hair looked great. She looked great.
You all saw the famous photo from the weekend of Hillary looking so haggard and what, looking like 92 years old. If that's the face of experience, I think it's going to scare away a lot of those independent voters.
You wonder in the end.
You get a woman in the Oval Office, most powerful person in the world, what's the downside?
You mean besides the PMS and the mood swings, right?
Most voters are women, okay? That's just a fact. So if women were so anxious to have women in Congress and there were so many great female candidates running, then why wouldn't Congress be 52% female?
This campaign right now is not the greatest example of why women should rule the world.
Well, this is exactly why men shouldn't allow the vagina monologue to become a dialogue.
I know that's a sexist comment.
It totally
but there's truth to it.
All right. Part of a montage produced by the Women's Media Center. You heard Pat Buchanan at the end there. Bill O'Reilly was in there. Tucker Carlson, Chris Matthews, and some others. One of the reasons that so many women, at least who watch cable television, are more outraged than media professionals seem to be about the tone of the race. And by the way, you can see the video of that on our video picks at WNYC.org. Click on video.
You know, it's interesting because I was moderating a panel at the New School earlier this week, which just happened to be on Monday, but it was with Ellen Malcolm of Emily's List, Dee Dee Myers, the former White House spokeswoman, and Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood. And they played this video right beforehand. And I have to confess, it was the first time I saw it. And I, don't watch so much cable TV that I was sort of aware of all these comments. And it was almost surprising to me that I'd gone through this whole campaign and sort of hadn't had this sort of big concentrated dose of them. Now, there was a story in the Times today where a lot of networks and news executives were defending their coverage and saying, you know, really, we don't need to change anything. And it made me think about how people view the media in America and the question of the campaign coverage. Because when I think of the campaign coverage, I tend to think of, you know, sort of the network TV reporters and the web reporters and the radio reporters and the newspapers, and not so much in terms of the commentators. But I don't think that that's how the American public experiences it. all of this stuff, people's blogs, Chris Matthews, John Daly, John Stewart, The Daily Show. I mean, this is all part of what people see as media coverage. And I think that the fact that, you know, so much of this stuff happened and there wasn't a huge blow up, I think should cause a little more soul searching among some of the nation's top media executives.
30 seconds, and I mean 30 seconds. Is anything different now in the Obama-McCain campaign because Clinton is out?
I think that there are going to be a lot of similar discussions, actually, about experience, about how you make change and how you get it done. And I think that it's interesting to have a Republican now making those arguments, and we'll see how they go.
Five more months of change versus ready on day one?
I think so, although McCain might want to alert himself to the argument that did not work for Hillary Clinton.
But a lot more policy differences to fill in the blanks on, which, of course, we will do in great detail as our coverage continues. WNYC Political Director Andrea Bernstein, thanks a lot.
Thank you, and my last time in this chair at the Municipal Building. Next time, I'll see you at our new headquarters.
As this is the last Brian Lehrer show in the Municipal Building in Lower Manhattan as we move to 160 Varick Street next week. And by the way, WNYC Political Director Andrea Bernstein and I are continuing our weekly podcast, Digesting Politics into the General Election Campaign. That is a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. We'll be recording a new one this very afternoon at Varick Street. Sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast for free at WNYC.org.